Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Neil Shenvey, the woke apologist, defending J.D. Greer's heresies. And the specific heresy that we're going to discuss that J.D. Greer teaches is that Christians, Muslims, and I think also Jews worship the same God. Now, this is heresy because other religions do not worship the same God as Christians because they reject Christ. They reject the Trinity, so therefore they are not worshiping the same God, one that is Trinitarian in nature. So, short answer, that is why it's heresy. There are longer answers, but we're going to focus on this heresy and how Neil Shenvey defends this heresy of J.D. Greer, his pastor, who is a very woke pastor, especially in the Southern Baptist Convention, that he helped liberalize, and he got, under his leadership, I should say, the convention embraced critical race theory through Resolution 9, something Neil Shenvey supported at the time because he's woke. So we're going to dive into that, but first I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. And also check out my book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, linked in the description below. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. So here's the article I wrote for Tuesday, and it is about this very subject. The woke apologist Shenvey defends Greer, and Neil Shenvey is someone who's risen as, I would say, he's controlled opposition. He is someone who is in a prominent position because of what church he attends and his unwillingness to call out woke preachers. He has run cover for a lot of woke preachers, and woke preachers have endorsed his books. Ligon Duncan would be the most prominent example of a woke pastor who endorsed his book after he wrote the foreword for Woke Church by Eric Mason. So, this guy has never really taken a strong stance against critical race theory. However, he is taking a strong stance against what he calls the woke right, which is believing in actual right-wing politics that's to the right of 2015 liberalism. So that is what they really mean when they say woke right. It's these liberal subversives like James Lindsay who infiltrate conservative circles and say what conservatives need to do to in order to beat the liberalism or in order to restore 2015 liberalism. And 2015 was Obergefell, by the way. That's why I'm using that year. So anyway, moving on with the article, Megan Basham started this whole thing when she highlighted a quote from J.D. Greer's book, which is called Breaking the Islam Code. And this came out quite some time ago. And the thing about J.D. Greer is he's always been very weak on Islam, which should be more surprising, but the Southern Baptist Convention is historically weak on Islam. Even before J.D. Greer became president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Convention was supporting Muslims and their building of mosques. They were supporting Muslims to build mosques in the United States. So the Southern Baptist Convention is very weak on the Muslim question. So with that said, let's dive into this quote from J.D. Greer. It's in a dialogue format. So starting, it says, Muslims worship a different God than Christians do. And this is framed as a question or a statement or a myth that's going to be busted by J.D. Greer. J.D. Greer writes, Muslims claim to worship the God of Adam, Abraham, and Moses. Most missionaries find it therefore helpful to use the Arabic term for God, Allah, meaning literally the deity, to refer to God, and to explain that God, that the God Muslims believe in, the God of the prophets, was the God also present in the bodily form, Jesus Christ, and the one worshipped by Christians for the past two millennia. Now, I believe I know some people who converted from Christianity to Muslim to Islam, or Islam to Christianity, that do actually believe like this, but it's still wrong. It is still wrong. Even if missionaries find it helpful, it's not necessarily true that they worship God. If you look at the history of Islam, they clearly don't. They walk around a rock on their Hajj. That is a clear idol in Christian terms. That's an idol. That's not a god. So, and the symbol, the crescent, is also a reference to a pagan deity. So it's not God they're worshiping, even if they think so. So that being said, J.D. Greer continues, "You might ask, but isn't the Islamic God so different from the Christian God that cannot properly be called by the same name? Aren't we worshiping two different gods?" So this is the dialogue again. And then J.D. Greer answers, "Believing wrong things about God and worshiping him incorrectly doesn't mean one is worshiping a different God. Many first century Jewish people rejected the Trinitarian nature of God and that Christ was a messenger of God, yet the apostles did not say that those Jews were worshiping a different God." Well, there is a slight difference in the time period in which they were referencing, like, those people who are contemporaries of Christ and the Messiah. That's a lot different than a modern application of Muslims. So these are entirely different scenarios that J.D. Greer is bringing, but he is ultimately arguing that Christians and Muslims worship the same God, or that this is an acceptable view. And it frankly isn't. We have centuries of doing the reading that back this up, that Christians have never affirmed that Muslims worship the same God. And why are we trying to pretend that they do? So it wouldn't take long for Neil Shenvey to defend this heresy. And Neil Shenvey posted, "Do Jews and Muslims worship the same God as Christians? I was inclined to say no, but Acts 17:23 seems hard to square with this. If pagans worshiping God, or worshiping a pagan shrine to an unknown God, were worshiping God in ignorance, what are the implications?" So just to read that verse for a second, let me see if there's a... I'll go with the English standard. "For I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you.'" So this is an appeal by Paul, and it is also not the same, because the Muslims aren't worshiping a God that's unknown to them. Paul is using an inroad to evangelize. Muslims aren't worshiping an unknown God to them. And, you know, to cover all their bases, they are worshiping a specific God that in their view is not Trinitarian. And they reject the Trinity explicitly. And they reject the deity of Christ knowingly. These are two different things. These are apples and oranges as far as scenarios go. Neil Shenvey wants to frame this as an issue of what is proper worship, as opposed to who are they worshiping. And then Neil Shenvey also followed this up in the replies, right? "I don't think anyone is denying that non-Christians are worshiping God in the wrong way. And this is an absolute straw man, because about all of us are denying that non-Christians are worshiping God in the wrong way, because we would say they're not worshiping God at all." There's a huge difference in our understanding of this. So Neil Shenvey insists that Christians believe that pagans are worshiping God incorrectly, but this is not what Christians believe. Most pagans are worshiping a false god or a demon, in fact. They're not worshiping God incorrectly. And then we got one more. This is kind of my most fun one, I guess. So this guy, Mark Smith is his name, he asked, "Okay, but can you answer the question, do Muslims and Christians worship the same God, or are you really unsure?" Neil Shenvey gives a Jordan Peterson word salad answer, because maybe he loves to see himself right, like Jordan Peterson loves to hear himself talk. And he says, "Again, I think this requires clarification. One example that's been used in the past is if Lois Lane loves Superman but doesn't know his secret identity, does she actually love Clark Kent without knowing it, since the two men are the same? See why this becomes a complicated issue? And it's like, Neil Shenvey obviously is not familiar with Superman beyond even at a casual level. Like, I'm a pretty casual Superman, fan, I guess. You could call me a fan. I like Superman 1 and Superman 2 and stuff like that. So I'm familiar with the lore, right? And Lois Lane does not love Clark Kent at all. She is an alpha widow for Superman and Superman alone, especially made clear in Superman Returns, which is the spiritual sequel to Superman 2. So that's who Lois Lane is. She is a feminist who don't need no man, and Superman is the only one that can tame her, basically. That's kind of the gist of who Lois Lane is. She does not love Clark Kent at all. Moreover, the more obvious point is that Clark Kent is the alter ego. Clark Kent is not the real Superman. Clark Kent is a caricature of humanity in Superman. So that's Superman's kind of caricature or criticism of humanity manifests itself in Clark Kent. So Superman is the real Superman. This isn't like Peter Parker and Spider-Man, which, by the way, the women love Peter Parker. And then found out that he was Spider-Man, is generally how it works. So I want to end the article portion of this by saying apologetics is about evangelizing people with a fixed position against Christ, such as atheism, Islam, or New Age. It is not about defending heresies of woke pastors like J.D. Greer. Many normies assume that Neil Shenvey is theologically sound, but his prompt defense of J.D. Greer's heresies showcase how he's a bad actor in evangelicalism. So this brings me to this. Neil Shenvey announced, "I deleted two tweets about the relationship between Christianity and Islam and Judaism because I don't want to mislead people about the fundamental incompatibilities of the world religions. I apologize for posting them." So again, that was not the issue. The issue is, do they worship the same God or not? And he couldn't give an answer. It was not whether Neil Shenvey, or by real extension, J.D. Greer, was arguing that Islam and Judaism have pathways for justification. That was not the issue. Or whether God would accept their worship or not. That was not the issue or the debate. And he continues, "I'll reiterate that evangelicals should clearly affirm that there aren't many paths to God, that non-Christians are false, non-Christian religions are false, and that God does not accept the worship of other religions. This is obvious, but that was not the issue. The issue was whether these religions all worship the same God or not, not whether their worship is acceptable, or whether it provides justification." So a lot of normies in the comments, like, praised Neil Shenvey for this. Some of those people aren't normies, but they're wrong for doing this. And I like what David Morrill points out. Notice that Neil Shenvey is apologizing for being too far ahead of the simpletons in his discussion of the issue, not about the unbiblical unknown God position he formulated in defense of Greer's same God error, which remains intact in this mea culpa. He's not the problem, you are. And David Morrill of Protestia is absolutely right that this is a false apology. And Neil Shenvey does, I don't know if Neil Shenvey believes that Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God, but here's the thing. He's not tweeting those in a vacuum. He's doing it because he's defending J.D. Greer, a false teacher. That is the issue here. That is why he did what he did. That is the intent of his actions, because he was responding to something that Megan Basham provoked. Good on her, by the way. So that's what's going on here. Do not fall for the empty words of a woke apologist. And that's all I got to say about that. My name is Ray, it's the Evangelical Dark Web. You like this kind of content? Do also subscribe. Best thing you can do for our channel. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.